A debtor's prison was the fate of the unemployed and impoverished in England, who were too poor to repay their debts. Daniel Defoe, for instance, was committed to King's Bench Prison in London in 1692, where he began to agitate for a change in the legal system. Forcing debtors to rot, Defoe argued, was injurious to both parties, since being confined in prison meant both debtor and creditor lost through prolonged distress. Society responded with bankruptcy laws, yet both America and Europe on the heels of the financial crisis have yet to absorb the principal lesson from Defoe's Robinson Crusoe, which explored classical economics through a castaway, shipwrecked on a desert island near Trinidad, who finds that his great wealth and gold coins have no value among cannibals. His tools, however, and the means of production, are what built the New World. Today, we are financially imprisoned by the policies and practices of central banks, governments, international finance agencies and Wall Street, which borrow, loan and bet on money irrespective of its value, or even the likelihood that it can be repaid. Today's debtors are college students who've overborrowed, Americans with underwater mortgages, credit cards meant to compensate for lagging wages, and sovereign realms like Greece, who, unlike big banks, cannot be bailed out by a parent. We're facing record levels of underemployment, stagnant wages, lost social and economic mobility. But in Washington, those issues take a backseat to discussions about the U.S. deficit, $17 trillion at present, spending cuts on the poor and impoverished, and the ultimate non sequitur, corporate and high income tax simplification that would freeze these rates at their current low levels and avoid reaching the debt ceiling. Robert Kuttner's latest book, Debtor's Prison: The Politics of Austerity versus Possibility, outlines the national debate we should be having about austerity economics. Debtor's Prison discusses the American and European economic crisis at length, yet resonates with what he calls the moral economy of debt. Namely, the misnomer that spending less, refusing to forgive debt, and shrinking government austerity is the solution to a persisting economic crisis in the West. Since the collapse of September 2008, the conversation about economic recovery has centered on the question of debt, whether we have too much of it, whose debt to forgive, how to cut the deficit and, most recently, how to avoid reaching the debt ceiling. These questions dominated the 2012 U.S. presidential election, the fiscal cliff debates, and the perverse economic policies of the European Union. Blending economics with historical contrasts of effective debt relief and punitive debt enforcement, Kuttner makes clear that universal belt tightening, as a prescription for recession, defies economic logic. And while the public debt gets most of the attention, it's well to remember that private debts are what crashed the economy. Corporations get to use bankruptcy to walk away from debts. Homeowners, small nations and college students don't. Thus, we need more public borrowing and investment to revive a depressed economy, and more forgiveness to reform and rebuild the future. It's worth mentioning that when Defoe died in 1731, one of the most celebrated authors of the 18th century, that he was even then hiding from his creditors. Perhaps he might have lifted a page from the protagonist of one of his own novels, Robinson Crusoe, for example, who has and continues to dazzle the world with his theory of classical economics when he said, "It's never too late to be wise."